Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
And I can promise you then you'll always be my best friend. Till the end when we part, I will give you my heart. And I promise to love you with all that
promises here. We just deliver. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's DJV with Doug, Jen, and Victoria. Kara Schillen has the pleasure of being the person in charge of the control room at our main studio in Washington so that she can put her hands on buttons that play songs like this.
It is only a paper moon sailing over a cardboard sea.
La, la.
But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me.
So how many of you have taken the time to look into your future by looking into the moon's
big
bright face, the extra big bright super moon? I've had notes all the way from Hawaii, across the country, talking about this super moon, the full moon, now coinciding with its closest approach to the Earth in the orbit, 30% brighter than it was last month.
And well, 30% actually, than brighter than it's been since 1948.
Yep. 14% bigger like than normal, because it is now only 221,523 miles from the Earth. It's apogee and perigee. It's an elliptical orbit, so it stretches out and it moves in different ways. The furthest away it has ever been, at least in terms of what we could measure or know in modern times, is 356,508 miles. So imagine the difference between 221,000 miles and 356,000 miles, and how it would present itself as we look at it. 356,000 miles, 136,000 miles difference in the apogee and the perigee of this thing. It's really very, it's inspiring. It gives us a lot to think about. Look at that moon. How many people have gone outside and looked up at the sky and said, look at that moon?
I love doing that. When I'm feeling stressed and overwhelmed, I love going out and looking at the sunrise or the sunset because it kind of connects you to nature.
Yes.
But I was leaving my office on Monday. I was talking to a friend in the parking lot and it was dark outside and I kind of looked over and, you know, I don't really trust my eyeballs anymore since I had a detached retina.
Uh-huh, right.
And so I look over and I see across the street from our office that there's like this big, bright, beautiful thing. I'm like, is that the moon? No, that can't be the moon. So I get in the car and I don't say anything. And I start driving and I'm like, whoa, that is the moon. I mean, just big and beautiful and bright. And it felt like you could just reach out and touch it. So I actually called my friend and I'm like, do yourself a favor and look up. I was going to say something to you. But I didn't know it was the moon. And she goes, oh, I'll have to find it. Because you just don't. I mean, we get so involved with looking at the radio, looking at our phones, looking at everything.
You can't separate. You don't seem to. A lot of people can't separate one part of their life from another part of their lives. So everything, you don't have the same regard or respect for the beauty in life. And this is one way for you, as Jennifer nicely put it, just sort of sit down and look at it. And you think about, okay, where did this come from? Why do we have this chunk of dirt a quarter of a million miles away from us floating around? Why? Where'd that come from? And the wisdom, conventional wisdom is now that it was a piece of our planet that broke away when our planet collided with another planet many moons ago. Like about our planet was formed, according to whatever people, if you believe the research, about 4.56 billion years ago. And about a billion years after that, planet about quarter the size of our planet just crashed into the Earth. And as it did, it created a big glob, and a piece of that glob flew off. And because the atmosphere wasn't the same, it had enough power to jettison it away from the Earth and create this thing that we call the moon. And these, our planet has become shaped, and so has the moon become shaped by their traveling in their orbits, as much as anything else. And even though we don't think there's any resistance, gravity creates certain things. I mean, again, here I am. I'm sort of faking it because I don't really know if there's anybody else. It just sounds like a good story. But it's fun to go look at. And as Jennifer said, it's romantic. Or was it Victoria? You say it's just romantic and peaceful, and it gets you. It's kind of exciting. It is in its own subtle, quiet way. You can be exciting and be subtle and quiet at the same time.
Sometimes it's also nice to just look at something and feel dwarfed by it. You know, sometimes it's nice to just be
life.
Reminded.
Something you don't have control over.
Yeah. And just to see. Yeah. I mean, when I first caught the glimpse of the supermoon was on Saturday. I was in a cab. I'm in New York City and I was on my way home. And I looked, I was sitting in the back seat of the cab, just sort of staring out into Central Park. And I saw the moon and it took me by surprise. And I had Jen's reaction. I was like, what? That's not real. What is that? Like, I couldn't, it was so big and it was just right there. I couldn't even, I just had never seen anything like that. And it's so nice to feel really small sometimes in a universe. It really is.
I'm looking through on a website of pictures of the moon shot all over the world. There's a picture of it orange coming up over a village in Germany. And here, as it focuses sort of into this isle of Tenerife and comes through the clouds, is just magnificent. Here's a picture of it from India. One of the most crazy ones is the moon with the pyramids in the front drop and the moon's in the backdrop. It's really very, very cool. And then there's a picture of it in Kazakhstan, like it was standing, had been put on top of a skyscraper, the top of the skyscraper, right in the middle of the moon. And then the moon over Stonehenge, the moon in Greece. Just understanding that the gravitational pull of the full moon and the fact that it's in its closest approach to the Earth in a long time, it has, in addition to being beautiful, has caused high tides, coastal areas. There's been some flooding here and there.
And including in my bedroom.
It rains indoors at Victoria's house.
It does. We live in a magical fantasy land.
Oh, good for you. Nice. But coming up over pictures of coming up over mountains and next to buildings and a certain place. Here's a picture from Madrid. The moon looks like it's on the back of a building. And by the way, it'll look closer in some places in the Earth because it is. Again, remember the apogee and the perigee. It's closer to the Earth in certain parts of the Earth than it is in other parts of the Earth. Over Europe and Africa, it was closer literally than it was in North America. It literally is closer to the Earth, but some fabulous shots here all over the place. And, you know, it's more interesting. I'm going off on this, and I probably should stop. But the way that it looks in the daytime, when you see the moon in the sky in the daytime, it really is.
You can see more definition of it. See that when I was in the cab, when I first saw it, the moon hadn't risen yet. So it was, that's what really caught me by surprise, because it was almost at eye level. And it was maybe 5:30. It hadn't, and that's where you can really see all of the differences, and you can kind of feel like your eyes are telescopes when it's that close.
It's a great picture of it over Cape Canaveral. And the picture was taken from the other side of the, I call it the swamp. There's a lagoon that goes out over from where the press box is on the the Space Center itself, out over 3 miles out to the launch pad. And this picture shows the launch pad with something ready to take off and the moon above it. It's great comparison. And here's
Did it hit your eye like a big pizza pie?
Pizza pie. That's okay. And here's one of the taken on the 42nd Street Bridge in New York. It really looks kind of cool. Looks like the bridge in Brooklyn. I'm going off on this. Look at this. Here's a picture of the moon completely behind. We ought to post this.
Wow, that's so amazing looking. I can see it right through the radio. Wow.
We should post some of these pictures.
Look
on
at Kara over there. Getting smart.
You can't see that?
She's got her new Warby Parker glasses that she's testing out.
I can see everything.
She can see right through the radio now, yeah.
I don't think Doug liked it. He's gone away.
Doug's in church using a new kind of radio where he looks at pictures and describes them. He's innovative.
I'm afraid this is new radio. We were talking about the radio shows of the future. We've got it here. Spend the morning describing pictures for everybody, having them thrilled.
Oh, look at this one.
That little squirt Kara in her. Anyway, so the last picture I'm going to describe.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Is of the Holy Redeemer in Rio.
Is of Kara's paycheck.
Final notice. There's a stamp on it. No, this really does need to be posted. You know, the hill, the Chuck Mangione. I'm thinking of the song, the instrumental from Chuck Mangione called "The Hill Where the Lord Hides," which was inspired by him going to Rio and seeing the big statue of the Christ the Redeemer, which is on top of that mountain as you go into Rio. And there's a picture of Christ the Redeemer with the moon behind it that is about as perfect as you could possibly imagine, because that fits just amazingly well into the way the arms are outstretched. It takes the moon's behind it. Maybe you got to see it to appreciate it. But I'm doing my best to describe. Kara,
you should see this.
Yeah.
Who else can spend 45 minutes on
that? That's right. Just think about that, how lucky all of you are, because you think Imus is going to look at this? He's not even awake enough to see this picture yet. Never mind.
He's in a coma.
Describe it, right.
Supermoon has a whole new set of meetings to Don Imus.
Yeah, that's probably true. All right, so where are we here? Looks like...
where are we? That is the question. That's going to be the next 45 minutes. Where are we?
Well, maybe that's not a bad thing. I want you to help yourself to Superbeat so you can rejuvenate that beautiful circulation opportunity that you have in your body. Heart health depends on circulation. I could sing it was circulation. You know it is circulation.
You don't have to.
I don't. Okay, thanks. Nitric oxide is the most important. All right, so you do this commercial, Jennifer. You're so smart.
It was oxidation, I know.
She gets it. You know, we've all been so damn serious for so long. It is just time. And it's the moon that does it. You can laugh all you want about me describing pictures of the moon, but didn't get your mind off of all this other silly stuff that's going on. Come on. And so what I want you to do is help yourself to regular blood pressure. Help yourself to preventing heart disease. Help yourself from dysfunction. Help yourself to energy. If you're over 40, increasing your nitric oxide level safely and naturally is the most important thing you can do. So you want to get Super Beats also. Take that. Jennifer does every afternoon. As if she does 14 hours on the air, she gets a little groggy.
Just took some right now.
Wake up so she
can. Groggy around hour 15.
Wait a minute. You were to my references to the moon. All right, anyway, get yourself on board Super Beats. 800-655-4183. 800-655-4183. Or order them at DougLikesBeats.com.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. Who is this where from?
Chris Chakiris, German, Pennsylvania.
Questionable riding decision.
Yeah, standing on a seat in a windstorm, but I did it.
Under the influence, and that's Kawasaki 750, today on American Biker Minute.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappyLandAudio.com. That's HappyLandAudio.com.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. That's all day to Chris on the open road.
Love them. Born and raised on them.
The figure in your life?
My dad. Kept the boys busy. He rode a Kawasaki. 750 was the last one. Every time he went out, he'd hop on my Harley and I'd take his. I always liked the Harleys. I always wanted one.
Anything on two wheels you've come to regret?
Yeah, standing on a seat in a windstorm. Almost got blown off, but I did it. It was a good time. I rode it for about a mile. It was at a bike rally. It was going off. I'm Jack Daniels. Good Lord, look after me, you know? Always watching me.
American Biker Minute.
Somebody better.
Your passport to the open road on two wheels.
Today on App Check, Real Pool Shot Maker. Hold your device above the cue ball, align the arrow to the pocket, shoot along the arrow. Really improves your game. Real Pool Shot Maker. It's a hit.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
In 13 NBA seasons, he scored over 15,000 points and was a three-time All-Star. But this former Phoenix Sun and Cleveland Cavalier is best remembered as the league's first slam dunk champ.
Larry Nance with a reverse one-handed windmill over the right shoulder. What an athlete.
So where is Larry Nance now? During his basketball career, the High Alatola of Slamola was a big fan of drag racing. After Larry retired, he decided to be more than just a fan. In 1996, he won his first IHRA race and later competed on the larger NHRA circuit. Today, Larry spends a lot of his time watching his son, Larry Jr., who's averaging 8 points and 8 rebounds a game at Wyoming.
Got Larry Nance on the other side, and he lays it for him. And he ducks it home, flying in for Wyoming 2.
The rock sure doesn't fall far from the tree. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Now, Cheap Psych Tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Do you need to pull an all-nighter? Need to stay up all the night long? Well, there's a smart way to do it. Here's the science of it. Now, students regularly pull all-nighters around finals time, and even the most seasoned employees are required to work every now and then until the very, very wee hours of the morning. But how do you stay up all night and get through the following workday? That's the problem. If you must work late, try to get at least 4.5 hours of sleep. Why? Most restorative sleep occurs within this time frame. What's the cheap psychological trick? If you must work late, shoot for at least 4.5 hours of sleep. You'll be able to function the next day, but only at a very minimal level. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.